couple of coals right now, but the Lord wants to throw some gas on the coals of our hearts. Amen, church. I'm speaking on the sixth core value, and it's a real wrestle to speak one message on the Holy Spirit. So we're going to do our best today. But I want to be directed this morning and share some things also from our heart. God's love calls us to embrace the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The fullness. I want you to think about the word fullness of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? The fullness of the Holy Spirit. You have the notes. Let's go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. I grew up in a denominational background that emphasized the Holy Spirit in a very, very real and a very strong way, and yet there was some things that we emphasized so strongly, and some things then we went, no, we don't think that's for today. And so, how many of you know that no denomination has it all right? Can we hear a big amen? How many of you know that God, in the days we're living in, is longing for his family to be in unity? Yeah. Huge. Huge. And yet we have caused or we have allowed some differences of interpretation to splinter us and to divide us and so on and so forth. But today, I want you to, as we journey through the scripture, and I'm not going to stay long on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because the reality is when we come to Christ, the Spirit of Christ indwells all believers. But I want to talk a bit about being led by the Spirit, and I want to talk this morning also about being baptized by the Spirit, because very clearly as we walk through Scripture today, you're going to see the need for the church to be baptized with power. And our power runs short when we walk in disunity and we don't walk in love. Because the scripture is very clear that the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Through love. John 16:5, now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good, these are the words of Jesus, that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor, some of your translations, comforter, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. One of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit is to convict people of sin, It's okay to say amen here. Amen. That means us also. Even though we're in Christ and we're children of God, one of the primary roles of the Holy Spirit is for us to open our heart always to the moving of the Spirit of God. And I'm convinced, unfortunately, that we have taken the third person of the Trinity and we have relegated him to some corner, or maybe into that, maybe even that former confessional. This used to be a Catholic building. And we said, well, just go in there. And when we need you, you can come out. The truth is, we need always the power, leading, and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Becca, can you bring me a Kleenex? Thank you. Could you be a little quicker next time? Okay. I need the Holy Spirit. Thank you, honey. We need the Spirit of God. We have tried to build churches. We've tried to have movements of God. We've tried to do all these things through the plans of man. We cast five-year visions. We cast this vision, that vision, that vision, this vision. And we don't take the time to listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling us. I have discovered as in my own life that how do you make a five-year plan? How do you do that? Yeah, it's good to plan. It's good to sit down and plan for certain things as best you can. But I have discovered that the Holy Spirit is always filled with surprises. The mysteries of God. God never hides things from us. Write this down. He never hides things from us. He hides them for us. And he reveals them at just the right time. And he reveals them when we're ready, when we're walking and living in the Spirit of God. Who was that great Southern Baptist singer, that Vestal, what was her name? Oh, I feel like her right now. Wow. Pour that Kleenex away. But he reveals them, the mysteries of God, what God had planned before. The foundations of the world. Do you know he knew you would be here today? And he knew what would happen in this service, for he ordained it and he planned it. But the key is, will we step into it? Will we listen to what the Spirit of God is saying? Will we hear him? Will we walk with him? Will we be led by him? I come from a corporate background where planning was absolutely essential. And it is right, hear this, for the leaders of this church to plan. But the greater thing that we all can do right now is to pray. And I cannot understand, as we journey into these scriptures and we journey into the baptism and fullness of the Holy Spirit, if the early church needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit, why would there be such a theology that has ceased now and the church no longer needs the Holy Spirit because we have the full canon of Scripture? Excuse me, it is the Holy Spirit that gives us the revelation of what that Scripture means. And we must have the Spirit's revelation. And we must have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our life. And because there's been excesses or things that we don't see in the Scripture, what we do is we throw that all out and we relegate the Holy Spirit to the corner and we grieve the living Spirit of God when he has so much more for us. So he convicts us of sin. When you came to Christ, you had to be convicted. And conviction leads us to the love of God. And I said to Becky, and I'm going to share in a few minutes this morning, what we're sensing on our hearts. I said, Becky, I know how I'm going to preach. She says, yeah, you do that all week long, Mark. My call is evangelism and calling people to the cross. But I'm going to confront through the Spirit, and I'm going to confront you today. What are you going to do with the love of God? What are you going to do with His love? And what is this church going to do with how the Holy Spirit is leading? What are you going to do with it? Well, Pastor Mark, we've lost you. Seriously? Do you follow me or do you follow Christ? We follow Christ. Say amen. And God will anoint the leadership of this church, and He will take them to a new place if they seek the will of God for this body. Can I hear an amen? Amen? And your role is to pray and call upon the Holy Ghost. Call upon the Spirit of the living God to touch them. And while you're doing that, call upon the Spirit of God to touch us fresh also. And we'll be praying for you that the Spirit of the Lord touches you fresh. But I'm afraid we need to be convicted of the fact that we have pushed the Spirit to wherever we think He'll fit in our plans and in our service or in the life of our church or in our own lives. God, let's move on. You guys read John 5:16 in your life groups. How's that? I'm just going to preach. Is that okay? Spirit of God. Romans 8 says that they that are sons of God are led by the Spirit. All this is in your notes. Led by the Spirit of God. And yet I'm afraid we're constantly trying to do the leading. We try and lead the Holy Spirit instead of the Holy Spirit leading us and leading the church. And leading the body of Christ. Some of you are wondering, well, where are Mark and Becky going? Once the Holy Spirit tells you, can you come and tell us, please? So let me say a few words. We're not moving to Abbotsford to be with our kids. We're not starting another church. This is our home church. And right now, we're not leaving this city. In fact, I will tell you and let you in so you can pray for us on one of the secrets that God has shared with us recently. Jesus said He's given us the secrets of the kingdom. I like to pursue the secrets of the kingdom. How about you? And so as we have wrestled with God, as I said in my letter for 18 months, going, is this the right timing for this, Father? Is this right that we do this? Because 18 months ago, by the Spirit, I heard a little nudge in my heart. And I went, wow, I know that nudge. I know that nudge, Lord. What's up? But we have learned over the years that you take those things and you kind of put them on the shelf of your heart and you let the Holy Spirit nurture them. And so as Becky and I spent much time in prayer, early in the morning, together, and as we sought the will of the Father, and as we wrestled, and as we sought counsel, and we heard the Holy Spirit, and as God reminded us of prophecies and things that have been said over our lives that ring so true with what the Spirit of the Lord has said to us. Because the danger of following prophecy is that you're following prophecy and not the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. But prophecy, if it's from the Lord, should line up with what God has already spoken to you. And so many words have been spoken over our lives, and God has put things in our hearts. And you know, I've been wrestling with the Lord because he's put so many dreams in our hearts and passion about the body of Christ and yearnings to see a move of God. I have prayed. It's not about me, by the way. Since we were in Vernon, and we moved there in 1992 and got involved in a church, I've called on God for a move of God. And here's what's happened with that. Because he put that dream there, by the way. I said, Lord, it's very recently. It just hasn't come. Do you know there's a time when you need to turn those desires and dreams back to the one who gave them? Because who cares who it comes through? We just need a move of God. Can I hear an amen? And what church it comes through or what place it comes through, who cares? Because if we start worrying about that, we're taking glory. God is going to get the glory for that. So as we wrestled with the Lord and we sought the Lord, we knew that this was our time. And one of the words that was given to us by the Holy Spirit through an apostolic leader from the country of Colombia 14 years ago now. I'm going to share a bit of this. Is that okay, hon? His name was Roosevelt Muriel, a man who had experienced a great move of God in Colombia, one that this nation desperately needs to experience, by the way. And I had him, can't even remember how I got him in the church. A phone call came and I was asked, would you like to have this man? And this is his background. I said, I would love to have him. And he came, and I actually called the leader of the EA in Medicine Hat here, who was Pastor Ian Bird, who pastored the Bridge Church at that time in 2004. I have Roosevelt's notes in the back of my Bible. And he came in here, and he spoke to the pastors of the city about what unity looks like and about what a move of God looks like, because they had experienced this great move of God in Colombia. And you know how it was birthed? Stadiums were filling up with people praying all night long because there was such a desperate need for the power of the Holy Spirit to fall in the country of Colombia. And if you think we're better off than Colombia, you are seriously wrong. Because that exact same move of God, it might look different, has to come here. And so we were in the church. He had spoken to the pastors here, and he shared some very, very powerful stories. And one of the stories I'll never forget was that as the Holy Spirit began to move in the city, I don't think it was Cali, might have been Bogota. And as churches were coming together and the Spirit of God was moving and people were coming to Christ, there was a few pastors that spoke out against the move of God. They spoke over the airwaves against the move of God. What do you think happened? They died. Folks, we have to remember something. This is God's church. It's His church. And he will do what he needs to do to bring about that which his son died for. That's the salvation of souls. You could feel in the room when he shared that, we all kind of looked at each other and went, oh dear. See, what you can't understand, don't speak against it. If you don't understand it, ask the Lord. Can we hear an amen? Amen? Ask the Lord. Don't speak against it. Ask the Lord. And so as we've been on this journey, and the Lord is leading us on, and he's leading us into a place where one of the words I believe that Roosevelt spoke over me, that we're just going to step into those things because they just resonate so strong in our heart. And he looked at me and he said, listen to me. He said, one day you will be used. And I need you to pray about this because this will only be to the glory of God. One day you will be used to heal hundreds of churches and thousands will come to Christ through your ministry. That's one. But I want to share something with you this morning that I said to Becca, I'm going to share this. Something very interesting has happened since I've read my resignation to this body. And it was after what I believe was a very pivotal time in the life of our lives, the life of our church, and it felt like 21 days. How many of you are familiar with Daniel? 21-day time that he sought the Lord. But right after that time, in the 21st day since I gave my resignation, was last Sunday. And since that time, last Sunday on, the Lord has been speaking some things, and I can't fully script this for you. And so I don't want to say, thus saith the Lord. But we need your prayers. Becky and I know in our hearts that our time in this city is not finished. We don't know what that all looks like. In fact, the Lord has given me such a heart in the last week. Greater than I have had for this city, and I have loved this city because you've heard me preach about it often. But he's done something else. And in some ways it's troubling. He's given me a heart, and which I am part of, by the way, for the condition of the Church of Jesus Christ in our city. And it has to change. And there has to be a touch of God. There has to be a laying down of wills. There has to be a laying down of agendas. There has to be a, I'm right, you're wrong. That has to stop. There has to be forgiveness. Because I am convinced more than I've ever been before that the Holy Spirit wants to do something in the city of Medicine Hat, and hear this, that could be used as a model for many cities and many towns of what God wants to do in the Church of Jesus Christ so that we can have the greatest harvest of souls that we have ever been part of. But we can choose to be a part of it, or we can choose not to be. And the Holy Spirit would want the will of God, which would be that all of us be a part of this. But we choose that. We choose that. And so some people have said, well, what are you going to do come April 8th? What are you going to do April and May? Sleep? We're going to take some rest. We're going to get some rest in those months. And we're just going to chill out and rest and seek God and get very excited about how God could use us. Because here's the truth, folks, our whole heart, and I want you to hear this, it's all about people. It's all about people. And people are desperately hurting today. We were listening to a podcast of someone we don't even know is a believer. I have no right to judge his heart. I'm not sure. And he said, I hate suffering. When's the last time you ever heard a message like that in church? We should hate suffering, folks. We should hate it with such passion because we have the answer. The answer is Christ. The answer is the power of God. We have it. How dare we not share it? We've got it. The church has it. And here we are. And what will you do? Because as I've said to every person I've met, this isn't about Mark and Becca. This is about all of us stepping into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. This is about all of us as a church and the church stepping into the destinies that God has for us. Ours is just scripted very out there. Because 18 years ago, we stepped out of the boat with no Bible school, with no very few resources, and we moved here, and I left my career because God had a call on my life and our life. And I want to tell you something. You want to feel like a fish out of water when people are asking you what you're doing? And you say, well, I've got a call on my life. And they look at you like you have seven heads. It's a true story. And God opened doors for us to go pastor. And by the way, I'm going out there March 11th. I'm going to be preaching in my first little church in Empress on March 11th. They're without a pastor right now. So they've asked me to come and preach. And I'm going to go preach. I don't care if there's five people. I don't care if there's 10. I don't care if there's 50. I don't care if there's 5,000. I'm preaching my guts out. Amen? You bet. And so then we came here. And now we're actually not leaping. Because the Lord said to me a week ago, he said, Mark, you're just going to cast your nets in a different way. Can I hear an amen? And you folks are part of our lives, and we're part of yours, and whether you like it or not, we're sticking around. But we will be doing other things. We will travel. We know that. We have a passion for inner healing. Passion for it. The brokenness that we see in people, Christians, is mind-boggling. We have a passion for inner healing. I have a passion to preach the cross. To bring people and call them to repentance so they find our Lord and Savior so they can be free like you and I. And I said a few weeks ago, we're not running from our calling, we're running to it. What God has for us. And I can't fully script it. But the Holy Spirit is, and the Holy Spirit will. And the Holy Spirit will guide us, just like he'll guide you. If you will just open up to the leading of the Holy Spirit, if you will just open up to the baptism of power that's available to all of us. And let's look at that. So bear with us and pray with us. But we feel so strongly that God is going to do something in our city. You know what? Let's stand for a moment. I don't often keep to a script, and you're all used to that. I like to listen to the Spirit of God. Would you like to be involved? Just, I want you to think in what God wants to do in our city. It takes a stepping. It takes a leaving. It takes a letting go. And if you think our decision came easy, you are wrong. You are so wrong. But this is a very special moment in the life of this church. And I want you to just take a moment and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. He's always gentle. So let's let him speak this morning. And ask him, Holy Spirit, is there something that would stop me from being involved in a move of God? Is there some attitude? Is there something that I've spoken against that I need to repent of? That I need to ask forgiveness for? Is there something that I should do And it's not a pressure thing, it's just the sweetness of the Spirit. Let's take a moment and do that. Lord, as we stand here today, this is a precious time. Wow, the Spirit of God is working. Open our hearts, Lord. Each one. Love on your people, Lord. You can be seated. Ken just gave this to me. John 17:20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. The Spirit is interceding right now, folks, for us. Do you know that? He is interceding for us right now. Because the Spirit is concerned about what's going on in churches, what's going on in our lives, and what's going on in this city. Can I hear an amen? He is concerned. I have had this past week, as we've journeyed with the Lord, I've had something been happening in my heart I've really never had happen before, because I'm a grace preacher, and I preach the love of God. But I've had a fear in my heart. Not a fear of God hitting us, but a holy fear of a holy God that wants to do a holy work. And that holy work is to bring people into His holiness by the cross and shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I want to be a part of that. Can we hear an amen? Now, if whatever the Lord spoke to you, you need to follow through. Okay? You need to follow through. I've been a long time with this, but I just felt I needed to speak to it. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts, chapter 1. Verse 4, on one occasion while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. You don't have to work for this. Which you have heard me speak about, for John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If Jesus was baptized with the Spirit of which he was when he came up out of the water, how much more should we also be baptized? Everything that Jesus did on this earth, he did as the Son of Man. He was the Son of God, but all his miracles, all the casting out of demons, the raising of the dead, he did as the Son of Man, as one whom was baptized with power by the Spirit. Why would we think Why would we think that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not for today? And why would we think that we have it immediately at conversion when Jesus breathed on them in the book of John? And we believe that's probably when they received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, like when you receive salvation. Why would we think that we do not need the baptism of power just like the early church did? And a church that's revived knows the majesty and holiness of the Father. A church that's revived knows exactly the finished work of the cross, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the new covenant. And a church that's revived says, Holy Spirit, lead us, guide us, direct us. You have my life. You've got my life. And so as Becky and I are stepping out, we're calling on you to step out. Don't step out of the church. Step into what God has called you to do. Step into all that God wants you to be. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? See, we always get it wrong. We always think, well, this is what the Holy Spirit's going to do. And then we put God in a box, and he has to fit into our thinking. Isaiah says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. God will do. He'll never violate his word, but the Holy Spirit will do what the Father is telling him to do because he searches the mind and will of the Father. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And one of the dangers as revival begins to happen is it won't look the way we all think it should, but if it produces salvation, if it produces the fruits of the Spirit, if it produces transformed life, but it just might not be in this building, and it just might be on the streets, or it just might be in a house, or it just might be somewhere else, or it really doesn't look the way we think it should, we start to speak against it. Don't do that. The Holy Spirit knows what needs to take place in people's hearts and lives. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power. Everybody say power. That's dunamis in the Greek. It's dynamite. We need power to be witnesses for the Lord. We need the Holy Spirit at a greater measure. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let's go to chapter 2. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, 50 days after the resurrection, Pente means 50. It was 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. It was 10 days after the ascension of Jesus. Jesus went up after 40 days. He speaks these words. He goes up into the clouds. Now 10 days, the church has been together. Do you know what just is amazing to me? What struck me after I read this? After all the people that Jesus preached to, the masses, the thousands, all of the people he healed, all of the word that went out, there was 120 left in the upper room. God doesn't do things the way we think he should. I have learned, and finally, it's taken me a long time, you can say amen, Becky, to understand that God's ways aren't my ways. They're his. I just have to follow them and get excited about the mysterious nature of God. And just follow his Spirit because he's leading us into great things. 120 in this upper room. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. If we are indwelt by the Spirit at conversion, of which we are, why is there a secondary experience and why would it have ever ceased? And we do not hang our hat in this church on that to be filled and baptized in the Spirit, you need to speak in tongues. But it is one of the evidences, folks. And the reason people have argued about that evidence is because it is such a powerful evidence, the prayer language that God gives us. Satan hates the gifts of the Spirit, just so you're aware, because they're for the building up and edification of the body so we can be the witnesses that God has called us to be. And in fact, this morning, and it may have been a first, I felt somebody had a message in tongues for this church. And we need to allow that to happen in this church, and I need to hear an amen because it's biblical. But then there must be an interpretation, so that we can all understand what God is saying through the message in tongues. Because if we all speak in tongues at once, it would be very, very confusing, and God is not the author of confusion, amen? But it's been a long time since we've had an atmosphere where someone who has the gift of tongues can speak it out, and someone with the absolute gift of interpretation will speak. And I'll tell you something, when it happens and it's the Lord, shivers will run up and down your spine because God is wanting to speak to his church. You say, is that the only way he speaks through tongues? Of course not. He speaks through the word, speaks through the leading of the Spirit, but it's a mystery. And often in a public place, it's a sign to those who do not believe, and they see and they hear. This is supernatural and it has to be God. And they come and bend their knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Does it have to happen all the time? No, it does not. What about a personal prayer language? What's that? Paul says, if I speak in the tongue of men and of angels, I believe my personal prayer language is a tongue of angels. Why would it be a tongue of angels? Why? Why would I need a tongue of angels? Because it's a heavenly language. And because Satan doesn't know what the language is. And he hates it, so he divides the church. And we fight over the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's a master plan of Satan, and it weakens the church. I'm here to tell you, the Bible is truth, and we need the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. And if you don't have a prayer language yet, I'm not in any way condemning you. In any way. But I'll tell you what, there is something about that direct communication with God. Because when I know not how I should pray, I speak in tongues. Barbara, am I telling the truth? Right? It's just there. And you speak with this language. And my spiritual dad, Terry Law, said to me, Mark, I want to share something with you. He said, you can ask God to interpret your own tongue. Ooh, I didn't know that. And there are times the Lord has shown me clearly what I'm interceding for. I'm not getting hung up on tongues here, but it's there. And all the gifts of the Spirit are there. The gifts of healing are there. Read them in Corinthians. I've put them in there. They're there. They're there for the church. The Holy Spirit's the disperser. He gives us gifts. He dispenses them. He gives them upon the church. And they need to be used for the edification and building up of the body. And let's, in closing, I'd like to preach till about 3 today. Yeah, thanks for the amens. Yeah, I tell you. Ephesians 5:18. Just think about this. He's speaking this to believers, to the church in Ephesus, the church that Timothy was pastoring, this mega church in a city that's just rank, okay? But this mega church that Timothy's pastoring and people are getting saved. And you see, that's what happens in revival, if you don't realize that. The church comes alive and then people get saved and it's really messy. I can tell you're excited about that too. If you think a revival is easy, it is not. It won't be. I've never really experienced it, but I know it's not going to be what we think, and it's going to be really messy. But God loves touching messed up people. That's why he sent his son. Watch this. They were coming to Christ, and they were still drinking too much. Not that any of us have ever done that. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. What was he saying? When you're under the influence of drunkenness, you're exactly that. You're under the wrong influence. Whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whatever it is, there was no, in the sense of the drugs we have, the horrible drugs that we have today. But they were under the influence of alcohol, and they were getting drunk. And he said, hey, whoa, wait a minute here. You're born again. You've come to Christ. Your lives are supposed to change. You're supposed to repent and walk a new direction. And I get it. It's a process. But don't be getting drunk on wine or whiskey or beer or whatever. But be filled with the Spirit. Now, why would he tell people who are born again to be filled, which is the same word interchanged, baptized with the Spirit? Because it gives us power to live out a holy life. Galatians 5:16, if you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to shoot that clock one day. I know a church that's moving greatly with the Lord right now. And the Lord told the pastor to take the clock down at the back of the church. I'll let Pastor Larry do that. Oh, dear. Oh, and everybody's going, thank goodness he's going. I want to say one more thing. You're going to study this in your life group. If you're not in a life group, study this at home. Ask for the baptism of the Spirit. It's marvelous. It'll give you power. A fresh touch of God. People get saved. We baptize in water. Then they should have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then deliverance and all that stuff, getting set free. I don't know why we argue over this. It's just clear. We need to stop. And even if we have brothers and sisters who don't agree, we're supposed to love. Newsflash, the gospel's love. Amen? I want you to stand. God is leading us. Can I hear an amen? He is leading us. Where Becky and I are going, not fully sure. This is going to remain home for now. We feel strongly that God has called us still to this city, even in the last week, almost more than ever. It's really strange. Don't know what that looks like. Haven't got a clue. I love the pastors in this city. I really do. I love the church. Seriously, really love the church. Don't give a hoot that we disagree on some things. Couldn't care less. I mean that very sincerely. I don't care. If we are central on the gospel, we should work together. We just should. I want you to pray for a number of things. You've heard over and over that the leadership of this church is on a reconnaissance mission right now. They're exploring a big building in the city called the Arena. They're doing reconnaissance. God led them to do that. Just so you're aware. Is it going to work out? Is it the will of God? You know what? Don't know. I don't know. But I think we should pray. What do you think? Well, Pastor, look at the size of the church. Seriously? Have you ever heard that we serve a God that makes all things possible? I don't know what's going to happen with that. I just know he's looking for a people. And I owe you an apology as your pastor. Because I've always preached that everything is possible with God, but it's not true. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I set you up for that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He's looking for people of big faith. I don't know if that building's the will of God, and our leadership doesn't either. But they're on a reconnaissance mission, and they're hearing from the Lord, and they're walking with the Holy Spirit, and they're praying, and they're seeking God. Would you please commit? And hear this. Would you please commit to do the same thing? I am calling you to prayer. I'm calling you to confession, and I'm calling you to a greater walk of the Holy Spirit. But I sure would love to preach a revival in the arena. Boy, would I like that. Come on. You wouldn't like to be involved in that? We'd need all of you for ushers, for Pete's sake. Ken, you'd have a big job. Randy's freaking out. What do we do with security? Who cares? We'll figure it out. You know, but it's true. All these things, right? Wow. Can you visualize the touch of God? Can you visualize the Holy Spirit touching your family? And so many of you have kids that aren't serving God and grandchildren that aren't serving God. Oh, my goodness. What about all the hurt and broken people that aren't even connected to a church body anymore? This is so sad. We should grieve. We do and can grieve the Spirit. You're going to study that this week. Lori, are you going to do that song, Great Are You, Lord, or whatever that I would really like to do that. Come on, worship team. I don't care that it's 12 o'clock. I've resigned. Oh, now I gotta ask your forgiveness again. So hear me, folks. The Lord has something planned for the city and for us. Okay? As the Spirit was speaking to you this morning, if you need to go ask somebody's forgiveness, you need to do that. If you've spoke against the church, you need to make it right. It just got really quiet in here. I'm serious. This has to change. And I want your prayers for something else. I'm really excited about this. I've been asked to speak at the Good Friday service, the coming together of the evangelical churches, and God has given me a message, and I so desperately need to preach this message from love. I need your prayers. And then April 1st, I'm preaching Easter, and then April 8th. So Easter, my message to you is rise up, church. And April 8th is don't settle. What settlement have you made in your life? What settlement have you made? I can't preach that one now because then I couldn't preach it on the 8th. But what have you settled for that you shouldn't be settling for? I'm afraid we have settled. Lori, lead us in this amazing song. I think you've got it.